are listening to the Gorman Bear Girls podcast. We're just two girls making memories and eating our way through life together. Welcome to our table. Hi, I'm Star.
And I'm Jen.
And we are the Gorman Bear Girls.
Hi, Star.
Hi, Jen.
How are you? That's the typical.
I know. Let's get the greetings out of the way. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. Good. I mean, you know how I am.
But I know how you are. Everybody else wants to know. How are you?
We are well.
We are well.
And we are off the juice. Last week we were on the juice.
We were on the juice.
And this week we're off it.
We are so off the juice this week. Whereas we were off the juice over the weekend.
Yes.
So.
Happily so. Mm-hmm. So how was Easter?
It was great. We talk about that. It's just, I think for both of us, holiday meals are so great.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's just fun to prepare for your family. And then, I mean, you've got your granddaughter Lily now, who's like at the perfect age.
Yeah,
I mean, she's just over a year and she's getting to be very verbal and she's so aware of everything, and it's such a fun age to experience with her. So that like brings so much joy into your holiday celebrations, and
also causes me not to take food pictures because I'm too busy taking Lily pictures.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, how about did you get a picture of your Easter bread, Jen? Ooh, no.
Uh-uh.
No, didn't do that. Take a plate, picture of your food. Nope, didn't do that.
Nope. But if you want Lily pictures, I've got plenty.
You got lots of those. Right.
But you took great pictures of your food. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing that is so funny is our meals are
almost identical.
Yeah. I mean, they're so, I think a lot of that is just because also our upbringing, things that are very specific to an Italian Easter dinner. You know, we're talking about Easter right now, but it's even at Christmas time or, you know, whatever. I mean, they're just things that we...
Yeah, we grew up having the same... We have very similar backgrounds, so...
Right.
The food is very similar as well.
So we both did homemade ravioli and lots of it. Mm-hmm. And I actually didn't end up cooking all of mine because it was the last thing that I wanted to do before everybody sat down to the table. And there was so much food. I was talking to somebody today. It is so frustrating to me that, so all of the holiday, this isn't frustrating that the holiday meals are at our house. I love that, that my family all comes, but it's space. I have the most minute size kitchen for the size of my house. My kitchen does not make any sense in the size to the rest of the house.
Yeah, her house is huge, but her kitchen is tiny.
It's like a box. It's
but
like
you're
going to
change that. You're in progress.
I certainly hope so.
The wheels are in motion.
We are hoping to just bust out rooms on the side of the house. Like after all these years, I just can't take it anymore. So everybody was like vying for oven space. I'm getting calls, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. So the first call is my sister, you know, hey, can I put the potato galettes in the oven when I get there? I'd like them to be hot. And I get it. You know, she lives like over half an hour away. So if she cooked them at home, it's like by the time you get there, not going to be good. You know, so she had them all ready to go, but they weren't baked yet. So I'm like, no problem. I already have meat stuff will be done. She only needed a half an hour. The meat will be resting. No big deal. I'll do my vegetables in advance because I was roasting like petite rainbow carrots and asparagus. And truthfully, roasted vegetables don't have to be served hot. I pick at them, you know, when they're cold all through the night. So I wasn't worried about that because I even could have just kind of stuck them in at the last minute to heat them up. But and then it's another call. So my stepdad wanted to do the lamb this year, and he butterflied the lamb and he stuffed it and rolled it. And it was just a very basic, like kind of a spinach stuffing that was in there. And it was absolutely delicious. But usually lamb is a very quick cook. He needed 2 hours. And so he's like, so should we cook the lamb at your house? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I need like 12 ovens at my house, and I'm so over that. But I don't care. You know, it's like a temporary, it's aggravating in that moment trying to get everything out. So I'm back to the whole ravioli thing.
Well, don't you think, though, before we move on, don't you think that those memories are the best memories? Like, oh, someday, well, even though the space, the issue is frustrating, it's fun to be in the kitchen with people you love who love food, and you're all doing the same thing.
Right. And we are, like, my family, everybody loves to cook, and they're all great at it. So I can't, you know what I mean? And it is fun, as we're all kind of doing things. There's limited counter space in there, but
it will be so much more fun when you have space.
It'll be so much more. The memories will be even better. And we're a very dramatic, loud Italian family. When you get my siblings all in the room, and you've got, you know, my Tom barking orders, and it's just, you know, and Scott's trying to, like, are you okay? You know, he's coming in. I mean, there were years in holidays past where I'd just be like, okay, I'm going up to my room for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone, because I can't handle the stress. But now I'm just like, whatever. Pour me a glass of wine. Like, when the food gets to the table, it gets to the table. Like, there's some things that just aren't worth stressing about.
Sure.
You know, the meal's going to be great. The company's going to be great. There's going to be some kind of insane drama somewhere in between those two things, and we're just used to it, and so it is what it is. It's
because that's the very definition of family.
It is. Exactly. So anyway, there was so much food. Back to the ravioli, I only ended up cooking half of them, and I thought, well, I'll do half of them. Everything else was ready. Everybody was ready. People had been picking at the cheese and charcuterie table for like an hour, and so I thought, we'll just do this, and I'll go ahead and I'll just watch the platter, and if it's getting low, I'll just go in, and I left the water on low so I could just pump it right back up if I needed to and cook the rest of the ravioli. And I didn't. I actually ended up with not much left over, but a little bit left over, enough that Scott had a ravioli dinner that he could take to work the next day.
Well, you had so much food.
Oh, my gosh.
You had so much variety.
Yeah. There was a lot of food. So we had the lamb and the ham and the ravioli and the potato galette. And my sister did mashed potatoes on top of that, because we've got kids. But truthfully, my husband would eat 6 pounds of mashed potatoes if given the opportunity. And we had a salad, and we had around the lamb was like sauteed fennel and onion. Really, really good. I made a mint crema. That I kind of got the idea when we were at Spirits and Tales, and we had the lamb for the grand opening of the Oaklander.
You had the lamb.
Yeah, right. I had the lamb.
I'm not a lamb person.
And so there was kind of some type of, it was almost like a mint crema type thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to kind of whip something up here and figure something out. It was so good. I really just
did. You write it down?
I kind of have it in my head. I should write it down, because I was adding different things. So here's what happened. To further make it something that you would not eat, I ended up adding in chev. I added goat cheese to it. So.
I mean, yum.
Good. Yeah. I used about 1.5 of the smaller containers of mint that you could buy, like at Market District, at Giant Eagle. Uh-huh. I used all of the mint from one and half from another. Two pretty large size garlic cloves, a container of the creme fraiche from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
And I ended up, so it got really thick. And as I'm like mixing, so I did the mint first. And then as I'm mixing it, I'm realizing when I added the creme fraiche in to try to get the mint mixed in with that, I thought, I'm going to like overbeat this. I was just using kind of a small food processor type mechanism that I'm using, and I'm thinking, I'm going to turn this into butter. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And my mom's like, you're right, you are, if you keep that up. So it started to get really thick. I'm like, ugh. So I put a little bit of half and half into it. You know, like you just start, oh no, what am I going to do? So I put a little bit of half and half into there.
That's my answer for everything.
Half and
like heavy cream.
Yeah, heavy cream. I almost did heavy cream, but I thought, might be a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I wanted something, and I didn't want to just use milk because I wanted something that was a little bit creamier. But then that was a little too loose, so I threw some chev in there. Anyway, it was delicious. So we had that with the lamb. Well, I forgot to put it out, so we had it with the lamb when we ate the lamb again later. Oh, gosh.
See, so now next time you want to make it, you just set it all, so you're good.
Right, I'll just come back and listen.
Because
it's like
that's what I have found
down
from my mom. Like, everything was in her head. mostly everything. She had some things written down.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with my aunt, my mom's sister. So I'm, you know, unexpectedly picking up the pieces of tradition, and I'm like, what the heck did she do? And I'm figuring it out. But I want to recommend to people, if you have strong traditions, write them down for your children, because they will want to carry those on.
They will.
And it's very stressful if you're trying and you don't have anything to go from.
Yeah. You know? Or if you're still younger, if you're a millennial in that age group and you're looking at, you know, what your parents are doing or your grandparents are doing, and you really enjoy something, you've got to take the time to spend time with them in the kitchen and figure out what it is that they're doing. Because I don't know, when I look back, I think I took for granted a lot of the things that I enjoyed them. I've always loved holiday meals, even when I was younger, but I never put a lot of thought into the whole idea that someday I'm going to want to like recreate this meal, so I better know what I'm doing.
Well, I think when you're young, you always picture yourself at grandma's house forever, not realizing there's going to be an end to it, you know, someday. And you're right. And you don't picture yourself taking it over. And although you love taking it over, you want to follow some of those same traditions.
That, you want some
of those same guidelines that she did as well.
Right.
And if she has everything in her head, like your grandmother probably did and mine did, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah. And my sauce, even my red sauce, it's kind of similar, but I don't write it. I don't have it written down.
Yeah, me either.
I just make it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's so important. You don't think about it. So if you're not thinking about it, think about it. Like you want to do this.
Write them down and digitize things so you don't lose them. Because that's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a big stack that I'm finding, not of every recipe that she ever made, but several. I've lost them 16 times already. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to find places for all her things now. And so everything's in new spaces. So yeah, I want to digitize things.
Yeah. And things change, even how things are stored over time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
whatever it takes, however you think you're going to be able to keep on to that. Like, I don't know. Anyway, keep track of that stuff. So what else did we have? I was talking about lamb. Oh, we did my brother makes a pizza rustica, and, you know, with the mortadella and the soppressata and prosciutto and the ricotta cheese, and it is so good. It is just, I love the double crust. I mean, it's amazing, but what happens is, I look at it and my fingers swell.
Yeah, because all the meat and everything in it.
It's all the cured meat. And then, you know, I mean, I have all this meat. Although I didn't eat any, I ate a lot of cheese. I didn't eat really any of the meat off of my appetizer table. But yeah, so that's delicious. And then had a nice big salad, and can't go wrong with salad, but
no.
One thing, going back to kind of traditions, I've been asking this for several years. So I remember when I was little, my grandmother, she made her Easter bread. But what she did is she made individual breads for everybody. And she made them into little bunnies.
Oh, how sweet.
And they were so cute. And they had, I'm thinking she just used like a traditional Easter bread recipe. She never used a recipe. I was in the kitchen with her. Like, she didn't do, you know, I would be there with her all day. And she had her dough proofing, I don't know, and then she would just like roll them out into these long kind of ropes, and she would wrap the bottom part like into this kind of coil to make the body, and then she did a smaller version of that for the head, and then she took a little U shape of the dough and made ears, and she put a little tail on the one side, and then she would bake those, and she would wrap them in saran and tie a little like pastel colored curly ribbon bow around the neck. Yeah. And we all, like my cousins and all, like we always looked forward to that. And you know, I always, well, we both do this thing where we try to personalize each place setting.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking now for several years, why don't any of my aunts, like why does nobody have this, her recipe? I should just try it with a with an Easter bread recipe, you know, and just see how it turns out. I mean, hers had anise in it, so I know that was something that I'll have to add if it's not in a recipe that I find that I would like to use. But I just thought that would be so cute at everybody's place.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that I miss. But yeah, so that was basically our meal. And my one sister does my other grandmother's sweet, like ricotta pie. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law makes an amazing traditional carrot cake that's absolutely delicious. She soaks, I'm not a big fan of raisins in anything, but I've just never really have been, but she soaks those raisins in rum before she puts them in her carrot cake.
Well, there you go.
And she's got like nuts in there and nice big pieces of the like shredded carrot. It's very, there's so much texture in it and it's so good.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Would she give Acorn a run for their money?
They're just a totally different. Hers is more of like the traditional. Theirs is something completely different. And then I made these cookies that my mom had found a recipe for that were just a pistachio ricotta cookie. They were very good.
Mm-hmm.
I am still kind of in a food. Oh, we had stuffed artichokes as well. We were going to do them fried, but the artichokes were big, so...
And so you stuff them. Those. My mom used to stuff artichokes all the time.
Yeah. And so I think that's everything that was on our table.
That's it? Are you kidding me? Man, you should step it up next time.
I say everything like potato gullet like him. I think that's it. All right. So what was on? So what did you make for dinner, Jen?
It's very similar.
Yeah.
You know, we had ham and I did make lamb for my husband because I feel guilty. He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And Alyssa does like it. And I found out Paulie likes it, which I didn't even know. It's my child.
And you know what's so funny is that I bet you probably Sam and Grace would eat it too. Maybe not Sam, but I bet you Grace would.
Yeah, they might. They might. I don't know that they tried it. I don't think they did. But yeah, they would. And I had asparagus and I do a caprese salad. So we started out with that. And bread, and I made an Easter bread and shaped it in the like a cross. My mom used to braid hers, but I did a cross. What else did I have?
And you almost didn't do that.
I made ravioli
because you were so busy. You almost didn't, but that
Sammy,
was a morning crisis, right?
Yeah, Sammy was like, "Mima used to make, you know," and so before church, there I am whipping it up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But it all turned out. It was good. Everything was great. Yeah, I had a very similar menu to you. I stayed up and made homemade ravioli on Good Friday. We went to church and came home and Paul and I made ravioli and it was good. It was a good weekend.
Yeah.
Everything went very well.
And I think in our post too, like the day yesterday or on Monday, I did notice, because I had gone on just a couple times just to see, like, oh, is anybody posting anything, you know? I didn't really see a lot of people posting what was going on, which I feel like for us is really heartwarming to see that people are taking time, you know, whether it's no matter what, but you see it a lot, especially when it comes to food, people that are food bloggers, creating content, like everything is centered around, got to get a picture, got to get an explanation, got to get this, got to get, and it's so much about that. And then, but, you know, not to lose sight of that. There's a time and a place for that. And that's cool. Like we do that all the time. I mean, everybody know when we go out to eat dinner, everybody knows like, listen, you just wait. The food just arrived, but give us a minute. We're going to take a picture and then that's going to be it.
Right.
I don't take any more pictures. Now we're going to talk and we're going to converse and it's going to be great, but just hold on like 60 seconds. Let's get some pictures in here.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to just put
the phones
and enjoy,
down
yeah.
and enjoy
be
each
present.
Other.
Yeah. Be right. present at the table. And
that takes intentionality these days because we are addicted. We are an addicted society.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that putting the phones down is important. I mean, I didn't have my phone almost all. I think my daughter-in-law asked me right before they were leaving to go to her family's in the evening. She said, if you could send pictures for me that you took, you know, at church, because we had taken some pictures at church.
Yeah.
And I had to look for my phone. I didn't know where it was. And
yeah.
I like that. It's kind of freeing. I'm like, oh yeah, I do have a phone.
I think what makes it easy is as things were being
taken out, put out, because with my family, with our holiday meal, there are so many people, but there are also so many contributors to the meal. While I'm doing the vast majority of things, everybody's contributing something. And so once it was time to sit down, that was it. Like I didn't take a picture of my food on my plate even.
Right.
I was done. But it's like as each thing was placed onto the buffet table, it's like, oh, get a picture, you know, and that wasn't so hard.
Right.
You know, at that point,
well,
to do that.
Before everybody's sitting and really having conversations.
Right.
So.
But it was a good day. It was a long day for us because our first people arrived like at 1 and 11:30, I think, was about when the last, but it was my son and daughter-in-law were the last two to leave. And so that kind of doesn't count.
Yeah, right.
We were reminiscing about things when they were little.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah. So.
So
that was good.
Tell us about the daffodils.
Yeah. So when I picked up my daffodils for my tablescape, I had ordered 18 small pots. But in each pot, so they were mini daffs, and in each pot there were like 3 and 4 bulbs in there. And I always get my flowers a couple of days ahead of time anyway, because you need to kind of process them. Sometimes you need to force things open. And there was not one flower that was open on these. Fortunately, it was sunny and warm out. So I opened the box. I took them out. I had them outside. I sprayed them. I watered them. I set them out on the patio in the back on my big wooden table back there. And I let them sit overnight. And the next day, like, they were just opening like crazy. So I put those all in. I ended up just kind of sticking with the whole, let's go with this very kind of natural appearance. I knew I wanted to use clear glass so you could see the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
The bulbs were exposed. And I did them in varying sizes of containers. And those kind of went down the center of the dining room table. They were down the center of the extra table that was in the living room. They were on the charcuterie table. They were on the beverage table. I've been doing now putting desserts on. I cover the piano with a big round linen tablecloth, and I'll put the desserts on the piano. We have a grand piano in the living room, and I put those there. It seems like a good place to kind of have them out of the way. There's no space on the buffet.
Yeah, and they sit higher up. They look pretty.
Yeah.
So displays look like pretty on a piano. You can't go wrong with display on a piano. Are you kidding?
So I did that, and then I did the long aspidistra leaves and wrote names on those just to kind of set there, and kept everything very pale, like just like some pale yellow color. I really wanted the focus to be about when people came. I know I overthink things, and people are probably like, really? You thought about that? But I wanted all of the color to be on that initial kind of, here's where you're supposed to go when you come in. Not that people don't know that. Like, all of these people have eaten in my house a million times. But I wanted all of the color to be between the cheese and the meat and even the plates. I used bright yellow plates for our pre-meal game, pre-game meal, whatever. So I just used pale yellow tablecloth and used a little bit of burlap as table runners, and kept everything real simple. I was using the clear glass for the vessels for the daffodils. So I used clear glass dishes and then white salad plate on top of that, because I was using a white charger underneath and it just sandwiched nicely together. Used light green, you know, I don't know.
It looked very pretty. I didn't see it all together that day, but I was there the day before and saw you had a lot, at least 80% of it set at that point.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty then.
Yeah, I try to get that out of the way, like, so that I'm not messing with the table on the day of.
Yeah.
Because it's too much.
Yeah, because you have 100 things to cook, so.
Yeah. It's too much to do.
That just might throw you over the top if you had to do all of that in one day.
Yeah. And you found some really cool things when you were out doing your Easter shopping to add to your table.
I decided to go with, I don't know, an egg theme, if you want to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it started that I went to get Easter basket things. I ended up at Target, and I thought, oh, there's a gray tablecloth. And I knew that I was going to serve in my kitchen area. I have like a very open concept in the one part of my house where I have my family room, and my kitchen is one big long room. And my dining room's a little smaller. And so I thought, you know, maybe we would just sit in that room that day. And I have gray couches in there. So I thought, oh, I'll get a nice dark gray tablecloth. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I found a runner that looked very springy. And it had purples, lavenders, and some pinks in it. And I really liked it. So I put the runner down the middle of the table. And then I was out shopping again for Easter baskets because somehow Easter baskets have become Christmas. Like, just like Christmas. I don't know. What the heck? So I was out. I wanted to get my daughter-in-law some hair products. So I went out to Ross Park Mall. And I thought, well, I'll just stop in Pottery Barn because, yeah, you just know.
Swing on and in.
It just so happened that they were having a 60% off Easter decor sale. And so I got these really pretty lavender, like cut glass. Is that what you would call them? Like,
they are. They? Yeah, they are.
Eggs. And they were big.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got two of those and I got a big silver one. So I put those down the table and then I was in Sam's Club and I found some flowers. What flowers did I get? You're the flower girl.
Hyacinth.
Yeah. Which my new favorite flower. They smell so good.
They were very, very purple. And those very also purple. Had the mm-hmm. exposed bulbs. They're in a clear vessel. They just look really pretty.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I had ordered lavender napkins, linen napkins. Mm-hmm. So I got those. And I found these really cute little eggs that are...
They were like speckled.
Yeah, they're like speckled. And I wrote our names on those and mm-hmm. set them. They looked really pretty. And I did the napkin kind of like a rose.
They did. I know. That looked really nice.
So I usually don't do this. Star usually does this for me.
That's true. And but you did. It looked great.
So I just decided to do something. And that's what, it was spontaneous, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
Each little piece. I don't think about it like you do.
Well, and I want to say this because I do this a lot. Now's the time to just kind of look and see what is out there
for next
check
year.
Check at Pottery Barn, check at Crate and Barrel, check at Pier 1,
mm-hmm.
check at Target, like wherever you shop, look and see what they have, because you'll, even if it's one inspiration piece, like some element that is normally some astronomical amount that you would not want to spend
right
as a decorative element that you're only going to use for one meal a year. I mean, the other thing is like, do you have space to store this stuff? But now's the time to do it because you can find things like dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's after Easter. Like, they're trying to get rid of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they'll do a whole new, you know, set of things for next year. It's not like they're keeping it. It's not like Pottery Barn is going to, they probably won't have those eggs next year.
No, I would bet that they wouldn't.
So, you know, any place that has anything left, I always, you know, kind of keep my eye out for stuff like that. And if something really grabs my attention, and it's really reasonable, you grab that one thing, it becomes your inspiration piece for your following meal.
Yeah.
For those of you that have a sickness like we do, that you just feel like you have to do this.
Well, here's the funny thing. This shows you what a sickness that this can be, because I had decided that we were going to wear like lavender, purple colors mm-hmm. for church and mm-hmm. gray. And
so you blended.
So I blended. So we did the table. I really kind of did that on purpose when I did the gray. I thought, oh, it'd be nice if we matched the table. Who does that?
Yeah, I do. But here's why I did not, because how crazy is this? I decided we were going to wear black. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people wear black. I guess we were mourning the death before the resurrection of Jesus. I don't know. But and I was going to have Scott wear his yellow like polo shirt. And I thought, that would match the decor, but I don't want to take pictures and look like we're Steelers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, forget. We're not going to worry so much about coordinating outfits this year. We're just going to,
For anyone listening outside of the Pittsburgh area, because we do have outside listeners, black and gold, that's our city's colors. And so you look at black and gold and you automatically think Pittsburgh sports.
Yeah. Which they're colors that go together really well. I think it's just that for us, you know,
right.
it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah. Because all of our sports teams are black and gold.
Right.
You know, it's the Penguins, it's the Pirates, it's the Steelers. Everything is black and gold. It's not that way in every city. that all of their professional sports teams match like ours do. So we're very much a black and gold city.
Right.
Anyway, a little off topic there, but but whatever.
Right.
So this weekend, I'm so excited because something that we look forward to from month to month, as we've shared before, is Flight Club at Defer.
Mm-hmm.
And so last time we did it, we were not able to go last month. It's been 2 months. We took our husbands with us, and we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun because they're not really
wine drinkers. No, huh?
So we get to drink their wine.
Mm-hmm. We get to look at the looks on their faces when they taste.
Yeah.
Scott especially is hilarious. Paul is a little more like...
He's kind of into the pairing thing. Like, mm-hmm. he understands that the flavor can change. And mm-hmm.
Well, even Scott was getting that too. He's like, oh, you're right. It does taste different, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what you're eating it with. But we'll
get
that.
Yeah. We will get them.
Rope them in. We're going to rope them into that. So that's fun. They're featuring wines from Bolivia.
Yeah. And so then that'll be fun. We're going to go eat.
Yes, we are.
Where are we going?
We're going to Talia downtown. Yay. Yeah.
So you went there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I couldn't make it that day, but you said the food was incredible.
It's delicious.
You posted some great pictures. I can't wait to try it.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. We'll share that. Sister Sotali is a sister restaurant to Velazzi's, owned by Julian Velazzi, and wonderful food. The chef there does an incredible job. It's I'm looking forward to it.
Me
pasta.
Too.
I mean, we need more pasta, pizza.
So we got through our Easter weekend, and now we're in eat clean mode again, mm-hmm. starting on Monday.
Well, kind of.
Well, I've been in eat clean mode again.
I'm
hashtag cholesterol watch. Remember, I have issues.
I start the day clean. Anyway.
So by Saturday night, I'm going to be ready to carb out mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, but we have some place Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to Coughlin's Lock Kitchen Thursday
That's
night.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, well.
So, anyway.
I meant well. I have good intentions.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
So next week we'll talk about those restaurants.
Yeah.
Which will be exciting.
Something else that's exciting is with the weather being nice. Now, I think... Where were we? We were somewhere. Oh, I think it's when we went to Fogo de Chao. We ordered a glass of rosé because it was kind of a nice day. We're like, it's kind of a nice day. Let's order a glass of
rosé.
Yeah,
it's rosé season.
But I cracked open my first bottle of rosé for Easter, and it made me so happy because I was like, it's that season. You know, we're so looking forward to those warm weather days.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely reminds you of summer, mm-hmm. spring and summer.
Yeah, I think I've even said to you a couple of times, like, I don't know, there have been a couple evenings where I thought, wouldn't it be great if we just grabbed a glass of wine and went and sat outside? And yeah, it would be great. Am I the only one thinking that way, people? I don't think so.
The time is coming.
Yeah. So I had picked up a bottle of, it was the Chairman's Select, Julia's Dazzle Rosé. It was a 2017 rosé wine from Horse Heaven Hills.
Mm. And it was good?
It was very good. Dolan and Weiss Cellars. It was very, very good.
So you'd buy it again?
I would buy it again, yeah. I mean, I bought more than one bottle anyway. Because I'm always afraid, what if I really like this and they're not going to have it?
They sell out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even the vintage, you know, you can love something and then the next
year,
different
year
doesn't
taste the
same. It's not going to taste the same at all.
It does not. It does not, yeah.
It's a good thing to stock up when you like something. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to taste the same again.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But, oh well.
Yeah. So, I think what I would like to know from our listeners are favorite Pittsburgh rooftops. Because we are going to put together mm-hmm. a rooftop tour. So, if you have a rooftop that you think we should visit, we want to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, definitely. So, I would think that's the question we want to put out to our listeners this week.
Yeah. Shoot us an email. Let us know where we should go, or you can DM us on Instagram at Gormandburg, GOURMANDBURGH, or you can email either one of us. I am star, STAR with one R, at Gormandburg or at GormandburgGirls.com. And Jen?
Yeah, I am Jen at Gormandburg or GormandburgGirls.com. Mm-hmm. And if you would be so kind to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, that helps other people to find us. All right. Thank you for listening.
We'll talk with you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.